This podcast may contain content that is not suitable for listeners under the age of 18. If you are 17 or younger and wish to educate yourself about sex and relationships, you should visit scarleteen.com. That's scarleteen with one T.
Hey, I'm Alicia, your non-monogamous relationship coach. Welcome to the podcast where my friends and I chat about our relationships, enthusiastic non-monogamy, polyamory, swinging, kink, and our lives. You'll get a candid peek into what makes it worth it to live life outside the box. And in case you're still wondering, nope, we're not monogamous. Hello, hello, hello. Today, Casey Donatello is opening up about the challenges and the dynamics of striving for equity in non-monogamous relationships. But just when it seems like they've found the perfect balance, a shocking twist threatens to unravel their carefully built connection. Keep listening to find out what happened. Casey is the author of 3 erotic lifestyle memoirs, an adult content creator, a part-time nudist, a swinger, and her memoirs detail the emotional, mental, and physical aspects of discovering her sexuality and the lifestyle over the past 18 years, from a shy Catholic girl to an insatiable unicorn to a happily married hot wife vixen. So she's sharing both the positive and the negative parts of her journey to sexual empowerment because it's very important for her and me to let other women know that you can still be a strong, successful, independent, confident, and respected female, even if you're an unapologetic slut. So I really hope you enjoy this episode. The best way that you can let me know is by following, leaving a review. Please leave a review. And if you want more and if you want to hear the behind the scenes content, like Just the Tip, our guests' favorite and best sex tips, then join our Patreon at patreon.com/notmonogamous. Enjoy the show. Yes. Amazing. I love it. Okay. We're here. So welcome to, nope, we're not monogamous, where obviously we're talking about things that are in relationships and people that are not monogamous. So I'm really excited to talk to you because you have done some really, really neat things. I would love to hear about, well, first of all, I really like your Instagram, the In Bed with Strangers is fantastic. I enjoy that. And I would love to, first of all, just hear a little bit about what you do. I know that you've written some things and have some content out there. I'm curious. Well, tell our listeners about that.
So currently I have written 3 books. They're all lifestyle related and they're all memoirs. So they go from when I first discovered the lifestyle until about last year. The last book goes to last year when I finally got married, and I did marry somebody in the lifestyle, and we are a stag vixen couple. So I'm in the hot wife category. So he shares me with other men. And, a few months ago, about 5 months ago, I started an OnlyFans page. And, you know, I went on my first podcast kind of randomly back, you know, a few months ago. And I made some comment about a gangbang on Instagram. And then I got invited on this show. And then it kind of took off from there, where people were really fascinated by the fact that people really live lives like this. And it's not just in like TV and movies. Like, we are real people. They seem to be fascinated that my husband and I have a healthy relationship and we're happy and we're doing all these crazy sexual things. So it's weird. I kind of got, you know, not intentionally put into the spotlight a little bit, where, you know, I've been speaking out for the lifestyle and non-monogamy and all these other things, where I never really expected to be a role model for other people. I was just kind of like figuring shit out for myself. Uh-huh. But, you know, that's the problem with having a life like this. You always feel like you're alone and that secret really weighs on you. And then you have the shame and the guilt. So the more you find people that are okay with what they do, the easier it is to accept that, you know, you're doing it as well. And my husband and I don't have children, so we find it's a little easier to be a little more public because we don't have to worry about embarrassing our kids or their friends finding out. You know, it's any shame that or awkwardness is just directly at us, but it's our actions. So, you know, at the end of the day, we have to be okay with what we're doing. So, you know, people have really responded to our story, and it's very flattering and humbling to us that people want to hear, you know, what we're doing, because we think we're just your average regular people. We don't see it as, you know, that big of a deal. But when I started the lifestyle almost maybe like 19 years ago now, it was a big deal. And I was ashamed, and I didn't fucking tell anybody. And I was, you know, had all these conflicting things. And that's why I started writing about it, because I just needed this like therapy session in my head to understand what I was doing. And was it right? Was it wrong? You know, was it taboo? Was it inappropriate? And then I've always struggled with finding a relationship in the lifestyle. Like, I always wanted to date in the lifestyle, and it just never worked for me. Guys were just not accepting of it. They want to play with you in the lifestyle, but then they don't want to date you. They want to date somebody that they could take home to mom, and she's, you know, this good little girl. And for years, I just had this, like these two personalities. I didn't know who I was anymore. And right when I was about to leave the lifestyle for a relationship, I ended up meeting my future husband, and, you know, it all worked out for us. So it's been a crazy, you know, roller coaster ride, but it has not been easy. And there's been a lot of work involved and, you know, a lot of ups and downs, which people don't realize sometimes. They think that the lifestyle is just fun and sex all the time, but there's so much more, like the emotional and the mental part and the self-esteem and the insecurities. And those are the parts that I really like to talk about, because you're not always prepared for that when you get into this world.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Wow. That's a long time. So for the people who are listening who might not know, what is the lifestyle?
So for the lifestyle is a broad term. It's swingers, it's people with alternative, you know, lifestyles. Maybe you're poly, maybe, you know, open relationships. It can mean a lot of different things to different people. Some people think swingers are only couples playing with other couples. Some will say single people are involved. It's, you know, really whatever your interpretation is. In my experience, I started with a boyfriend for a very short time, and we did meet couples. Then when I became single, which is known as being a unicorn, I met couples, then I met single guys, then I ventured into like groups of guys, and then I stayed there. So I've pretty much experienced like all the different sections of it. But like I said, right now I'm married to my husband, and we're what's called a stag vixen. So he is, because you also have like a cuck husband. There's all these different terms, and everybody, you know, it's very specific. So my husband loves to share me with other guys. Sometimes he joins, sometimes he watches, but there's no like humiliation involved with him. He's a very strong man. He's like an alpha guy. He just really gets turned on by it. And I see us as equals. You know, neither one of us has like the upper hand in anything. And it takes just so much communication and trial and error. And I always like to tell people, just because you talked it out in the beginning and you decided this is what we are, you always have to have that conversation after every date, every few months, to check in, like, is this still what we are, or do we want to change what we are? You know, because we both equally have to enjoy it. I'm not going to get pleasure sleeping with other guys if he's not having fun, like watching it happen. You know, it goes both ways. You have to feed off of each other's energy. And right now as a stag, he doesn't see any other women. So I'm the only girl that he plays with. So that's like a big, you know, a lot of people want to judge it and say, oh, he got the shit end of the deal. Or, you know, you're greedy, you're selfish. People always want to tell me I'm jealous of other girls. But it's none of those things. It's just not our dynamic. And there's nothing wrong with what we do, as long as he's okay with what we're doing. You know, at any point, he can speak up and say, I want something different, but he doesn't. You know, and that's fine. And it's hard for people to understand that. But there's, you know, a huge community of people that do what we do. And it's normal to us. It, you know, it doesn't seem weird.
Yeah. It's like, I always try to tell people that rather than making things equal, you want them to be equitable. So like, rather than making sure everybody gets to do the same thing, let's make sure everybody gets to do the thing that they want to be doing. Right. Yeah, so if that's what he wants to be doing, then that works.
Yeah. And like, some guys can't mentally understand how another man would want to see his wife do things. And that's fine for them. They're not built that way. It's something, I believe it's just like in your DNA, in your mental hardwiring. There's no explanation for why you like it, but he definitely likes it. So I'm not complaining. You know, I'm an exhibitionist and he's a voyeur. So we're like this perfect match together.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. What, I'm curious. So are you guys, would you consider yourselves to be polyamorous at all? Or strictly physical?
It's funny too, because he laughs at me sometimes when I forget that we're non-monogamous, because he's always with me when we play. We do everything together. So almost sometimes I forget that, you know, physically it's not monogamous, because like in my heart and in my emotions, I feel like we're totally monogamous. You know, mm-hmm. There's no feelings, there's no emotions. I don't play with him on my own, even though he would let me. Like, it's definitely a bonding experience between the two of us. So he thinks I'm funny because I say that. I'm always like, oh, yeah, I am in that category, you know? Or he'll say like, you know, well, I'm not monogamous, but he's monogamous. And it becomes, you know, when you start putting these labels on everything, it gets like so confusing. Uh-huh. But we, you know, every experience we have, we share as a couple, no matter what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's great. I love that you guys have found a dynamic that works really well for you. What would you say have been the biggest challenges?
We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Alicia here. You know, the voice you've been tuning into episode after episode. Today, I'm popping in with an invitation that's really close to my heart. Behind the scenes, I've been crafting something special just for you, my dedicated listeners. If there's a voice inside you that's seeking guidance on navigating the realms of relationships and non-monogamy, wanting to like boost your confidence and find that unwavering sense of security, or you're struggling to manage the tricky waters of jealousy, I'm here to offer my support. I've cleared my schedule to open up 50 slots this month for free one-on-one clarity chats directly with me. So this is your opportunity to dive deep into those pressing questions and come out on the other side with newfound clarity and direction. The availability on this is super limited and these spots are going to fill up really fast. So don't miss your chance to connect with me. Head over to my website, aliciapayne.com, right now. Go secure your spot, because together we can uncover a path to a more joyful, fulfilling, and easy non-monogamous journey. Talk to you soon.
There have been a lot. So when we met, he was also in the lifestyle for a few years. So he was an experienced guy. So we were both single. But when you're coming into a new relationship and you're coming from different ends of the spectrum. So if people aren't in the lifestyle, they don't know. It's a very different world for a single girl and a single guy in the lifestyle. It's like night and day for us. So now you're trying to blend us together. And at that point in my life, I was coming off, you know, years and years of heartbreak and guys not respecting me for being like this slutty, like powerful girl. So I had built up all these walls and I was like this savage animal when he met me. And I didn't want to be contained. Like for all these years, I wanted a boyfriend. And then the one guy that wants to be my boyfriend, I just gave him like all this hell, because I took out all my anger from like these previous guys on him. And I was so afraid to open up to one more person because I didn't think I could handle like another heartbreak. So he dealt with so much shit with me. And then, you know, we had a balance. We actually met in a threesome, my husband and I. That somebody else set up. We didn't know each other before we met in the threesome. It was pretty funny. So it was supposed to be like a one night stand, and then we ended up getting married. So that's pretty crazy.
That's amazing. But,
yeah. But you know, even with a threesome, it's like, okay, we met in a threesome with another guy, so like this should be easy. But now moving forward, it's weird because when you have a third party, right? We started playing with like people I knew already. And there was a very interesting, like something was off with the power exchange, because now I have a new boyfriend and he's meeting guys I've known for years. And like that history does come into play a little bit for me. You know, I want my boyfriend to feel like the most important guy in the room. Not, I don't want him to feel secondary, some playmate that I've had for a long time. So in the beginning, that was a little rocky. And then I decided that we should only meet new people together. This way we could like bond over the experience and he wouldn't feel left out. Mm-hmm. It was my decision, not his. Cause then, you know, people would say, oh, he's not letting you do this, or he's making you get rid of your partners. And I said, no, this is my decision. I want to have a nice relationship with this person. And it's fucking with my head just as much as his. It's, you know,
yeah.
So yeah. Once we started playing with new people, we really did see a change where, you know, it was a process that we were equally involved in, like, who are we meeting? How are we communicating? What are our expectations for the date? So we started to really get closer as we were doing that. So for us personally, that was a very important change that we made. And then we were together a little less than a year when COVID hit, and I had just moved in with him. Mm-hmm. And it was so many changes. You know, I'm in my late 30s at that point. I never lived with a guy. It was a new relationship. I was in a new state because we lived an hour away from each other. So I moved to his house. I didn't know anybody. I had no mm-hmm. friends. I left my job. Then the world shut down. And I had this massive like meltdown. Mm-hmm. And I just, I don't say it was a nervous breakdown, but it was like pretty close to some kind of crisis. And I completely lost my sex drive. So mm-hmm. for almost a year, we didn't have sex once we lived with each other. And that was really, I see your face. Like,
yeah.
You know, we met in this high energy world of sex. And now I don't want to be touched. I don't want anything.
And now we're
to
roommates in COVID.
Yeah, it was horrible. And it took so much time. I went to the doctor to make sure it wasn't my hormones, but it was all in my head. It was this mental, I just couldn't handle all the stressors, all these new things changing at once. And we fought like animals because like it was just the two of us locked in a house for a year, just arguing, not having sex, not knowing what my problem was. Because he's like, you know, you would fuck all these guys with no problem. And now you can't fuck your own boyfriend, you know, and he wasn't wrong. But we didn't know what the problem was. So little by little, we really had to work together. And it sounds crazy, but we had to practice like intimacy and holding hands and making out and like oral sex and then sex. It took months and months. It was a fucking nightmare. And looking back, like, I can't believe that I went through that considering how sexual of a person I am. You know, like neither of us expected that. But he was very patient and very understanding. You know, we both had bad moments during that process, but he stuck it out and we got through it and we came out of it this like really strong couple. And after surviving that, I feel like there's nothing that we can't get through. And it really opened up our communication and our trust for each other. And now, you know, there's nothing that we won't tell each other if it's about sex, not sex, you know, nothing's too embarrassing, nothing's too awkward because we've been to like the bottom of hell together and we got through it and we came out with like more respect for each other and the closest connection that, you know, we had. And it just keeps getting stronger all the time. But again, we talk about everything all the time. It never stops. You know, you always have to make sure everybody is okay. And I also like to tell people that on the active scale, we're fairly active in the lifestyle, I would say, because, you know, we don't have kids. We don't have all these restrictions. We can kind of do whatever we want. But there are plenty of times when we decide, like, we're just going to take a break. We want to be together for a while, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's very healthy. You should never rely on the lifestyle to have a good sex life with your partner. It's an enhancer, but I don't ever want it to be a necessity for us, you know. And there's sometimes where he's like, we should have a date tonight. And I'm like, I just want to watch a movie with you on the couch. And he goes, oh, that's so flattering. Like, you'd pass up sex with other guys to stay with me. And I'm like, you're my husband. Of course I would, you know? Yeah. Or maybe there's a night where I'm feeling crazy and he's like, you know, I'm just really tired tonight. Can we do it tomorrow? Absolutely. Like, we're never going to fight over a date in the lifestyle. Like, that's just never going to happen. And I think that's a really important thing for couples to realize, that your relationship is always first beyond anything else that you or anyone that you allow to come into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I love that. That when you were describing how your libido dropped and the way you guys came back together was like spending intentional time together, holding hands, cuddling, doing things that were sexual, right? But weren't like without the goal. And I think that that's really important because especially people like saying I'm very similar in that, like my husband and I, our relationship started with like a very high, it was a very sexual, we were doing a lot of really fun, crazy things. And so when life takes its toll and that isn't happening, I feel like it's an even bigger hit, probably, I don't know, to our egos or our self-esteem or something. Right. Than if we had like kind of a typical, relationship. So I just love that that's how you guys went through that and reconnected. It's beautiful.
Yeah. And obviously for him, it was hard because we weren't having sex, but for me, it was like an identity crisis. Like yeah. I didn't know who I was anymore. If I wasn't having all of the sex and doing these crazy things that I love, like who was I? I was like a shell of a person. And I was so scared that I was never going to come out of that, that I really made it. Like I dedicated so much energy and work to getting through that because I couldn't imagine living a life of like not having any intimacy anymore at such a young age. Like it scared the shit out of me, you know? Yeah. So you really have to, you know, put the energy and effort into making things work. Not everything is easy all the time. And it's so tempting to just give up sometimes and take the easy way out and just give up on life, but you really can't. You have to fight for what you want if you really think it's worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm curious what, when you guys like recap after a date or a play party or something like that, like what are the like, are there questions that you guys ask each other every time?
It's a pretty consistent conversation. So generally we'll play and I don't like to eat before a sex date. So then I'm always starving after. So we usually either go to a diner or I'll make something at home real quick, but we always eat and we talk. And right now our dynamic is one of where my husband has a lot of control over what's going on. He generally picks the guys for me. You know, he decides what he's in the mood to watch. Is it black guys? Is it older guys, young guys, one guy, five guys? So he's earned the right, you know, this wasn't like day one, he could do this for me, but we're close enough now where I completely trust him. So he'll choose that. And then at the end of the night, you know, he'll say, you know, are you okay with who I picked? Who did you like? What did you not like? Did I say anything wrong? Because sometimes he'll tell guys like, you know, do this act or say this to her, you know, because I don't care, whatever. But he always checks at the end of the night. Did I say anything you didn't like? Did I do anything you didn't like? Were there any points where, you know, something was wrong? And it's usually a no. And then we'll always just like critique the guys together. We'll talk about like who had a really nice cock, who fucked me the best, who was a little disappointing. It's almost like we're girlfriends at that point, just like dishing on these guys. It's hilarious. You know, I love that about him, that he's not insecure at all about his masculinity. So he can totally say like, you know, that guy had a really nice cock, or he loves to see me with guys with like huge dicks, you know, even though he's very well equipped, but that's just his preference, you know? Yeah. So we talk about all these things, like we're just gal pals. And it's so funny to me. Like, I love that part. So I often say like the date itself is very intense, but the afterward part is really when we do like most of our bonding, I would say, because that's when we're really connecting. And then we have sex after, you know, or a lot of times, if we're at a hotel and the guys leave, like we'll shower together after, you know. So we have this like aftercare that goes into the dates. It's not like I fuck a bunch of people and then we just like ignore the fact that it happened. Like it keeps going after the date. And even a lot of times before dates, he'll shower me, he'll help me shave my legs, he'll pick out my outfit. Like there's so much more going on in the process between our relationship before the hotel and after the hotel. And those are the parts that are really the most personal. And you really feel like that connection with your partner when you're doing those things. And I mean, the sex is super fun and hot. And yes, you're, you know, making memories together. But the physical part sometimes is not the most important part of what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's great. I imagine you feel really taken care of with that kind of before and after care.
Yes, I love it. Like a little princess, you know? And it's funny because people say to me, well, you know, because I say like I'm this empowered female. Like, how could you be empowered when you're letting your husband like tell you who to fuck and whatever? And I'm like, it's not even about that anymore, because you know, we're in a relationship together. It's not one-sided. He's not making me do things I don't want to do. He knows what I like to do, and that's what he's making me do. So it's like, you know, and the stuff that I do turns him on, so he fucks me better. Like, you know, there's no one really in charge, no matter how it appears to other people in the process. Like, yeah. We know that we're equals. We've discussed everything beforehand. Just because he's telling a guy what to do versus me saying it, he's representing me in my eyes. You know what I mean? He's not going to say something that I would be offended by or humiliated by, or I would be like, oh my God, I would never do that in a million years. You know, like, we understand each other at this point. So I have no problem with him being like my representative. You know, it doesn't bother me. I don't think it takes away from being empowered. I've never once felt used or belittled in this way. You know, it turns both of us on. And I think that's the empowering part, that I found somebody that appreciates this side of me and plays along with it. And really, he's actually a big motivating part of it. He was the one that was like, if you want to do OnlyFans, go for it. You know, he's all about me expressing myself. And, you know, even before this video, I said, he was the one that said, sure, put your face in it. You know, he has no problem with anything. So that's empowering in itself, to have a partner that like really encourages you to be yourself and do whatever you want.
Yes. I love that. A partner who encourages you to be yourself. That is like
a huge
deal. That's so good. That's so good. Okay. I think people are going to be upset if I don't ask you this. How do you find people to play with?
We are members of a couple of like adult websites. So generally there, we do go to like clubs or parties once in a while, but generally we like to do our own selecting. So you can like post an ad online or people message you. We also get a ton of messages from people on Instagram that hear me on podcasts, but generally those don't really pan out. We prefer to play with people that are in the lifestyle. I think it's a little easier. They understand the etiquette a little bit better, and it just makes it a little more seamless. You know, I get a lot of messages from people on Instagram that just write like, hey, I heard you on a podcast. Can I fuck you? You know? And right, I'm like, that's really not.
I get that too.
It's like, that's not really how this works. Or, you know, they don't understand that my husband is actually going to be there watching this. You know, they want me to come out by myself. So we have, you know, we're not opposed to it 100%, but generally it's just easier to play with guys that understand our dynamic and have respect for it and experience with it. It's also, you know, hard for people that have never had group sex before or a threesome to just perform the first time great, you know. So we like guys that are, you know, are not shy and can perform well under pressure, you know, which is a little easier. But yeah, I would say mostly, you know, on swinger sites and stuff, that's where we find everybody. And we do play with people repeatedly. I know some couples have like a one-time only rule, but if we like guys, we have no problem seeing them again. But my husband loves to watch me with new guys, so we always have to meet new people.
Yeah. Okay, I want to reiterate something you said, that a lot of times when people are new to group sex scenarios, it's hard to perform. I just want to say that again. I try to normalize that all the time, because a lot of people with penises think I'm going to get this ultimate fantasy fulfilled, and then they show up to it and they're like, oh, this is really overwhelming and my body is not performing the way that I was hoping it would perform, and they feel a lot of, you know, like shame and disappointment. And I want people to know, like, that's actually normal. Like, that happens a lot.
It's a very popular problem. And I think it's also important to know, like, your comfort level going into this. Like, I've been doing this so long now where I don't really need introductions. I don't need to get to know you. Like, I can just have sex like the snap of a finger. You know, if you're new to this, you might want to have drinks. You might want to have a conversation with people. Maybe you don't want to play on the first date, and that's fine. Just like, know your boundaries. But I hate when people come in super hot and aggressive that have never done this before, and they talk all this shit about how all this stuff's going to happen, and then they're just like in shock when you get naked. You know, like, just be honest. Say, this is your first time. I'm new. I'm unsure. Like, that's totally fine. Everybody's had a first experience. But just be honest about it, because then we'll be more accommodating also. You know, like, maybe I'll tone down my aggressiveness with you and won't scare you away. Like, it's okay. And not everybody, you know, everybody has different play styles. Everybody wants a different type of sex for their partner. You know, some people want sensual guys. Some people want rough guys. Just find people that want what you want. Don't go for someone that wants the opposite type of date from you. You know what I mean? Because now you're just setting yourself up for failure. So I always tell people, try to really pick, you know, compatible people with you, because there are so many. And if someone says no thank you to you, that's fine. There are other people. This isn't, I think that's another myth, is that people think everyone in the lifestyle is fucking every other person in the lifestyle. And it's not like that. We are selective. We are choosy. We still want people that we want. It's not, I'm not just going to fuck everybody because you say hi to me. So, you know, don't be offended when people say no thank you. It's just like the real dating world. Not everybody is a match for everyone. And that's perfectly fine. Like, do not let that crush your self-esteem. Don't make it, you know, you feel like you're never going to meet anybody. It's just a normal part of the process.
The other question I had was about if somebody is new, say a couple is opening up and wanting to explore. And so here's the thing that I often see is people are scared to get on like websites, like swinger websites. They're like, oh my God, what if people see me there?
Oh my God.
Well, then they're already there.
They're not going to like bust you, because then you're going to bust them. You know, there is this like unwritten rule of etiquette that you don't, you know, ruin anybody's cover. If you recognize somebody, you have the option to just like avoid them and not, you know, message them, but you don't like blow up their spot, because that's so hypocritical, you know. But it's funny how many people won't even meet people that live in like their area. They lie about where they live because they're afraid you're going to run into them. Like, I always like to have local playmates because it's just so much easier, right? Like, why do I want to play with someone that lives 3 hours away when someone's 15 minutes away? It's so much easier. But again, my husband and I don't have that fear or that worry about people running into us or finding out. Like, we've been out in public places and we've totally ran into guys that we had dates with. We just wave and you move on. Like, you don't make a big scene about it. You know, it's not the end of the world. But I think you were going to say, how would I suggest getting into the lifestyle?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think I went a good route when I first started. My first experience was just going to a club. I think that's a great way for couples, because A, you are not pressured to do anything. You don't even have to talk to anybody. You can just observe. Yeah. You can just see what it's like, what other people are doing. You can play together. You can like see if you're exhibitionist, if you're a voyeur, what attracts you, like that's happening. Some places have like, you know, fun sex, like props and equipment that you can try. And also, I think a huge thing for me was just learning to be naked in front of other people. Right? Because we're raised that your body is private. You need to be modest and humble. So the first time I went to a club and people were naked, I was like, holy shit. Like, why aren't they embarrassed? And to this day,
isn't
like,
that the best thing for your own self-esteem and like body image? Holy shit. That blew my mind. I was like, oh my God, I'm hot.
Especially like, not that you're comparing yourself with other people, but when you see people that are like maybe a bigger size than you or not as fit, you know, and they're running around naked, not giving a fuck. It's so inspiring and empowering. Like, oh my God, like, why am I ashamed of myself? Like, no one cares here, you know? Yeah. The same thing with going to nude beaches. No one gives a shit what you look like.
Look at all these human bodies. Feeling.
And this past year, my husband and I got really into nude camping because we have an RV. And we fucking love it. It's like the best thing ever. We have a trouble going to regular campsites now. But like, people... You know, it's crazy because we meet a lot of people even in the lifestyle that go, I would never have the courage to go to a nude beach or a nude camping resort. And I'm like, but why? You know, what are you afraid of? If you can have sex with someone naked, you know, you should be comfortable enough with yourself, because again, no one is paying attention to you. It's a very personal experience being at nude places. And it's really all about like your confidence And it's funny because it's one thing to be naked when like you're in like a sexy pose or like doing something flattering with your body. But we started bike riding, playing tennis naked, and you know, your boobs are bouncing, your stomach is like wrinkling. And I got over it because no one else cared. Everybody else's body was doing the same thing. And it really makes you like appreciate just being comfortable and, you know, being secure with what you have. And that's been one of the most like amazing experiences that I've had through all of this. And like, I just wish other people would give it a chance because people are always like, oh, I'm too fat to go. I'm not in shape enough. I'm too old to go. You are not. Anybody can go and it will change your life. I'm a real firm believer in that. But going back to the swing club, I think it's a great starter because, again, no pressure. You know, you just get a sense of it for you and your partner, what you like, what interests you, what you're comfortable with. And you can go so slow there. You know, there's no rules to what you have to do or what you can't do. Some people might find that they just want to play in public with their own partner and never touch anyone. And that's fine. You know, it really, there's no rules, but I feel like that's so much easier than jumping into like a date with somebody and not knowing how you guys feel about stuff. And I just think it really starts to open your mind to like all of these new things, all these possibilities. And it's just a good starting point. And then you branch out from there.
Yeah. Yeah. I completely agree. I completely agree. That was my husband and I, the first time we went to a club and we agreed we weren't going to like play with anyone or anything. Mm-hmm. And we just went and we watched and we, went to a private room and played together. And, then we went home and spent a couple of days talking about all the different feelings, right? All the different feelings.
Yeah. It's like an explosion of, you know, all these different senses going off at one time that you didn't even knew existed because you're taught that all of these things are wrong and like they should never be happening and they're taboo. So it sounds silly, but it does take time to process all of these things, you know? And I think people, it's okay to take things slowly. You don't have to escalate what you're doing in a certain time frame because other people are. You can stay at one level for like years if you want, you know? Everybody's different.
Yeah. That's beautiful. I love it. Is there anything that you want to share with the listeners that I haven't asked you?
I think another thing about the lifestyle is to remember that consent, you know, some people think because you're in the lifestyle, you're giving up your consent, you know, like if you agree to be somewhere, now you're just like, you know, open season for anybody to touch you. If people are new entering the lifestyle, that is not the case. You always ask permission before you touch someone. Like, this is not just like grab people and like sexually harass people at all. We still have boundaries. We still have rules. You know, you ask permission, no means no. And I always like to tell people, even if you started with a yes and you start playing, you can say no at any time. Guy or girl, you know, because we always talk about females with consent, but guys have the right to stop things too if they don't feel like comfortable with what's happening. I've had plenty of times where I was in the middle of a date and I no longer felt comfortable, so I stopped it and I left, and it fucking sucks. It's embarrassing, but your self-esteem and your safety is much more important at the end of the day than like embarrassing or hurting someone's feelings, you know? Mm-hmm. So whether you're at a club or you're on a date by yourself, it's your body. It's your choice. You decide what should happen to it for the entire like extent of that date. So never, I don't want people to feel like, oh, I told them I would go to the room with them. Now I have to do X, Y, and Z. Like, it's never too late to stop what's happening. I think that's a really big thing. And just that, you know, you still treat people with respect, even though we're doing sexual things together. We're still normal people. And you still approach us with like class and respect. And for us, at least with me and my husband, it's really important that you acknowledge my husband if you approach me somewhere. And I think the general rule I would say is if you see a couple and you're a guy, you should, you know, address the husband first, just as respect, because I am his wife. Like, you know, that's like, you wouldn't go up to a vanilla girl at a bar and just talk to her when her husband is standing there. It's the same protocol, you know. If you want to sleep with someone's wife, you should at least be polite to them in the beginning, you know. But people, you're laughing, but people don't realize this shit.
True. Yeah.
Like, it's such common sense, and people just, they miss the mark on it, and it makes such a bad impression that it's a huge turnoff to a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, let's just acknowledge everyone here.
Yeah.
How can people find you?
So my Instagram is at inbedwithstrangers.official, and OnlyFans, I am hotwifelife 869. Nice. And then on my Instagram is my link tree. It has all of my book links, all of my podcast interviews, all of my other information like that. And oh, and I also just started a newsletter, so people can sign up for that if you email me at inbedwithstrangers@outlook.com. So that's a new thing, so people could stay up to date on like where I'll be, what we're doing.
Yeah. Awesome. And I'll put all the links in the show notes. I have one more question. I have a segment that we only share with the supporters of the show, patreon.com/notmonogamous, called Just the Tip. And the question is, what is your best or favorite sex tip?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Amazing. I love it. Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem. It was a pleasure being here.
Absolutely.
That was Casey Donatello sharing her real world adventures in the lifestyle and non-monogamy. And also, if you are one of our Patreons at patreon.com/notmonogamous, you got to hear her Just the Tip, her sex tip. If you'd like to hear that, go join the Patreon. You also will get access to a call with me every month and other great content. And go ahead and leave a review. That would make me super, super, super stoked. Bye. Thank you so much for listening today. It would mean the world to me personally and would help us keep this little podcast going if you would subscribe, leave a review, or share this episode with your friends. For more personalized support with your own relationships, we can work together on a one-to-one basis. Just visit my website at aliciapayne.com and schedule a free call to chat about life, the universe, and your relationships. Bye.